Yo, this is E-Dub for the Who Got Next podcast. Any music that you hear on any episode is for promotional use only. Thank you.
Like we always do about this time.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Yeah, we're recording. About to record. We're recording right now. It's on right now.
No, just kidding.
It's all good. Since you said this is where you were last night, you know. Just let it play for a little bit. What's going on, people? What's going on? This is E-Dub from the Who Got Next podcast. We are back. I need that energy in here.
I need that energy. Energy.
This, you feel the energy?
World is killing me. Light it up. If you feel my feet, light it up.
And I'm a big, see what I'm talking about? See how it just rings in? It's all good, man. Anyway, shout out to everybody in here, man. Thank you for tuning in for the Who Got Next podcast. We are back, man. Just wanted to bring that energy,
High life, high life,
high tide.
Don't drown, big breath, take stealth, stay cool. When I'm down, that vibe, that's right. On top, that high, I fly, sky dive, high five, we won't die. See hope, see dry, see why, and my eyes win big, win
live. I like that part. That's the part that I love right there. Shout out to everybody, man. Shout out again. This is E-Dub from the Who Got Next podcast. We are back with another episode. This is my bonus episode. You know how I do it. I like to sometimes do out the, you know, break up the monotony of the show. And I had to bring on a homie of mine, a newfound homie. Her and I kind of have, you know, we kind of talk back and forth where we're on Instagram, and I've always admired her spunk. her spunk and her reviews, her opinions, you know, and she has plenty of them, but
that's probably an understatement.
Word, but we got Nikki on my podcast today. How are you doing, Nikki?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Nikki is a blogger. She calls herself an inconsistent creator.
I was gonna put that out there.
Yeah, I read it. You are an inconsistent content creator. But
I want to set expectations so people know.
Why?
Because I don't want them to expect things to continue to come when I know how inconsistent I am.
Okay, well, we're about to change that to a consistent content creator.
Energy. I like it.
Yeah, energy. See? Energy. Former podcaster, but podcaster, because we had a conversation offline, but she is a podcaster. That's where I think I met you from prior to I had a previous podcast with my frat brother and I think y'all was bubbling around the same time. I started bubbling. I could be wrong, but that's where I started hearing about you from. And you always talk about current events and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I did on the other podcast. That ain't really my lane here. I just like to talk to people, get sensitive of what they got going on and things like that. But we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about, you know, like I said, she's into reviews and she's big in entertainment. So she watches a lot of TV, a lot of movies.
Oh.
Current events, music, and things like that. But before I get started, I know I had the song on energy, but how is your energy?
My energy is good. It's not high, but that's just because I was at a concert last night and I am tired. I went out there and I was like, I'm just going to vibe and I'm here to enjoy the show. And I had a drink, and when I start drinking, I'm like the most friendly person and I want to keep buying drinks, and I'm like, girl, you want something? So 3 drinks later and some chicken tenders and fries later, I was like, this is not how the night was supposed to go. I have to get up in the morning, so I'm exhausted, but I feel good. I'm excited to be here.
That's what's up. So the concert you went to last night was Big Crit.
It was Big Crit. It was great. I've seen him though. So
I've seen him twice. I've seen him 2 or 3 times. Now here's my question. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge Big Crit fan. Like, I've been on Big Crit from the beginning before he was, you know, mm-hmm. Before people really caught a hold of him.
Right.
This album was different.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really care for this album.
So here is the thing. I really like Big Crit, but I don't know that I would consider myself to be a fan. Like, I'm not one of those people that knows all of his music back mm-hmm. and forth. So I really went, like I said, just to catch a vibe and support my friend, because we actually went to see Eric Bellinger and Sammy a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I know his music, but I don't, like, know his music.
Right,
so
right.
I was like, I feel like I owe her one. But, I mean, it's always a good show, but yeah, I haven't heard a lot of people speak very highly of this last album.
Right. I call it his electric circus.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is Common had an album
mm-hmm.
called Electric Circus, and it was so far left. I mean, super left
yeah.
to the comment. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And so I always compare those that type of album to somebody that I feel is experimenting a little bit. I think this album was him experimenting with different sounds and being Big Crit has always been melodic to me, but he's also a rapper.
Yeah,
he's a rapper's rapper
mm-hmm.
who happens to make great music with a lot of soul samples, mainly a lot of Willie Hutch in it. So with this one, when I heard it, I'm like, okay. And I'm the type of person when I'm listening, music is one of my love languages.
I tell people that too. I always say music and film are my secondary love languages.
Yeah. So I don't thrive off of hearing something off of the first listen. I don't care how good it is. I want to make sure that I'm giving it the proper attention. So I listened to it once, then I listened to it a second time,
mm-hmm.
and then the ultimate test for me is the car test.
In the car, you got to listen to it in the car. It hits different every time.
In the car, and it didn't hit no different. It didn't hit no different this time, and so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm tripping.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my, I call them my musical confidants, the people that I ask opinions, I respect
them, yeah.
And they was like, nah, this ain't it, man. And I was like, okay, I thought it was just me. I said, it's not it. And I was like, okay, maybe this is his electric circus. Saying all that to say, I knew Big Crit show was coming up, mm-hmm. and I always go see Big Crit. But after hearing the album, I said, understanding when you go into a concert, you're going, when an artist has an album out,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a lot of their hits along with
the new content.
Yep. But the new content is the focus.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really feel this new content. So I'm like, I'm cool on that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool on that this time. And I'm like, you know what, it's fine. So he put out a tweet probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yo, what would y'all want to hear more? My new content or my old content? I went, this has never happened. I've never seen this happen before. Because if you are, that lets me know that he heard the fans.
Yeah.
He heard the fans and he heard the criticism. But most people are just going to be like, man, fuck that.
Yeah.
This is my set.
I said what I said. You're going to get what I give you.
You're going to get what I give you. But the fact that he asked that, it was respectful about it. He must have heard, you know what, maybe people not really feeling this album like I was feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I get it. You know, I mean, you're going to throw some shit at the wall and see what it does. I mean, but to him, he probably felt he was doing his best work. And it may be his best work to him, you mm-hmm. know. But respectfully speaking, this was not one of my, this just didn't hit me. And I have not went back to it. So, no, I didn't go to the Big Crit.
Fair. So, that brings up two thoughts for me. The first being, that's how I felt about Jasmine Sullivan and Hotels. And I don't want to like ruffle any feathers because I know the girls like to tussle. I'm not saying that wasn't a good album. I just think that this one was one where she took a lot of more like creative liberties than like her other albums, and it worked for her. I do think it made this more like commercial sound. It was a very like homogenous album. But as someone that's liked her from 2008, Fearless, this was my least favorite. It was still good.
Mm-hmm.
And the concert was great because Jasmine can sing her ass off, but I wanted a lot of that old school music. So that's definitely how I felt at her show. It was like, there's nothing wrong with being a hoe. I'm pro-ho. If you follow me, you know that. But I wanted more of that, like, soulful, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, classic Jasmine and not just the Hotels thing. But I say all that to say I do think I like that we're in a space where Black artists have the opportunity to experiment because mm-hmm. I'm very, like, critical of, like, a lot of white artists that I think build their sound on like Black music and our culture, and then we embrace them, and then they pivot and they start doing like country or rock. And Machine Gun Kelly, yeah, MGK.
Yeah, he did it too.
And so all of those people that like build this foundation, this fan base using our sound, and then they're like, nah, I want to go back to my roots, you know what I mean? So I like that we have this opportunity to do that because mm-hmm. we should be able to experiment. It just, I feel like, doesn't work for us because our fans, or their fans rather, want to hear the shit we're used to. So,
and I'm shocked that with Hotels,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she has confirmed that this was more of an EP
mm-hmm.
versus an album.
Right.
Right. So the fact that this was the content that got her, I ain't gonna say got her to the space, because she's always been that chick to me. But for people to come out in droves to see her perform, this album was the one that did it. I thought it was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Because I love reality show. Mm-hmm. I think that's personally like the busting windows out your car, all that stuff is cool. But I also looked at that album as, okay, that's a nigga bashing album.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality show to me is where I finally really paid attention to Jasmine Sullivan, because I said she's a fucking hell of a writer, and the content was just crazy. Like the content to me was just crazy. So that album was shocking. This album coming up was just shocking to me that. That's the one that brought people out. I thought it would have been reality show.
I felt the same way. It was a super cohesive album. And I mean, it had like, I want to be like, it had a lot of bops, but it had Dumb with Meek Mill. Like, so there was some up-tempo stuff. You did get a little bit of everything. So mm-hmm. I too felt the same way. Like, this is the one where she's going to pop. And it just kind of fell flat. And so I think this was a safe album, but it was well produced. And I think we're in that City Girl era, which I'm okay with. And so I think that's kind of why a lot of people responded to it the way that they did. Because, you know, we're trying to be outside. Mm-hmm. It's our hot girl. It's been a hot girl summer for a few years, but I'm not mad
for y'all. Fun fact, did you know, and I just found this out earlier this week, that Jasmine Sullivan wrote Say I by Christina Milian?
No.
That was her song.
Okay.
But the way the headlines put it was, oh, she gave, like, oh, this is her song. I think it was Jasmine Sullivan's song, and she didn't find no use for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina Milian was the first one up to get it. Personally, and I love Jasmine, but Christina made the song. Because when you listen to that song, it's like, you can hear it. But I guess I'm kind of glad she gave me the bust the windows out your car first.
Yeah.
Like that type of vibe. So, because I could listen to that one, then I went back and listened to it with Christina Milian. I said, this song was actually made for Christina Milian.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying, no, Christina Milian is not a better singer than Jasmine. Right. Sullivan. Hell no. It was just a better song.
It complimented her sound.
It complimented her sound more.
I dig it. When I've listened to, like, demos that have been recorded by people and then the actual song that we hear, you can tell. I mean, obviously there's more production that goes into like the final product that we get. But like even Butterflies that Marsha Ambrosius and Flowetry did, Michael Jackson made that song. Like
it was crazy. He did it sound
so
for sound.
Much the same, but it was Michael. It just worked more than it did with like Marsha. Like we know you can sing, girl, but I don't know. It was just something about that Michael twang that was like, this is what the song needed.
I wonder how they feel about that in the moment, because me and my frat brothers have these conversations all the time about it's interesting to hear mm-hmm. who should have had it or who it was made for.
Right.
But then later on, as it becomes a hit and you hear it from the other person, the first thing we always going to revert back to is, yeah, they did the right thing. Well, how do we know if they did the right thing? Because we actually don't know how they possibly sounded, or you hear it later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's a couple of, well, a shitload of songs like that. But I know one that comes to mind I would love to hear, and I doubt we would ever hear it, is The Happy by Pharrell. And mm-hmm. CeeLo said that was his, Pharrell made that song for CeeLo.
But, you know, CeeLo was in that legal trouble, so I'm sure that's probably why Pharrell was like, nah, buddy, I'm going to
it wasn't Pharrell.
Oh, okay.
This is before that happened. So, he wrote Happy. CeeLo cut it, mastered it. Everything was done.
Mm-hmm.
The label said, this is not the song for you. That's what they told her. They said, yo, this is not the song for you. And Pharrell said, fuck that. Like, he was like, you know what? I'll take this opportunity to just, and that's not normally what Pharrell does.
Right.
But he took it back and said, well, I'm not going to let this go to waste.
Yeah.
But he said, CeeLo said the song was done. It was pressed. He went to the label and said, this is going to be the single. And mm-hmm. he said the label fought him on it and said, nah, we're not going to put that out. So he said, fuck it.
And I can see that. So music nowadays isn't just about being able to sing. It's a whole package deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you have to have this look. You have to be able to essentially sell this song. Mm-hmm. And so sonically, I could see how CeeLo could make that song work. That makes sense to me. But like visually, the like video that we got with Pharrell, like I don't know that I can remember one video that CeeLo was in that made the song better. You know what
Fuck
I mean?
You.
Like I don't even remember that. Like I love the song.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. I love the song. I love that like Gnarls Barkley wave, but like I don't remember seeing the video and be like, now I love the song more. I just liked the song. Like
That was an excellent video.
I'm gonna go back and watch it today.
Go back. Please go back and watch it because
I'm gonna go back and watch it today.
Because the way the video was set up, he had other people really interpreting the song. Right. Even though he was in it, but he was kind of like he was like a third party in the video.
I'm gonna go back and watch. Now you're mad. I'm sorry. I got to be honest.
We all have our opinions. You know what I'm saying? But that is a song that really, the video to me made the song.
That's interesting because I never felt that way about it. I was like, I think I feel that way about maybe Hey Ya. Like, I still like the song, but I think that video was something that took it over the top because there was just so much going on in the video that, like, there were so many talking points. There was a lot that was exciting, and I think that's what kind of ushered in that wave of, like, black men being able to be a little weird. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
I also think with that video, that was also during a time where videos made it really promoted the upcoming project.
Yeah.
It's not like it's reversed now.
I miss those
days. You don't need a single no more. And then even when they say, oh, this is the first single, I'm like, you're going to put out four more songs.
Correct.
That was never intended to be on the album, mm-hmm. but it got these many quote unquote streams.
Yep.
And you're going to add that. You're going to add that to the album. So it's like, I hate the streaming era.
Me too.
Even though it is.
I was going to rant about that. That's one of the things I hate.
I hate the streaming era because people, like I kind of said it before, people don't live with the album. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really give the song and the music the proper due. It's a gift and a curse.
Yep.
The gift of the streaming, for me personally, the gift of the streaming for me is I am able to discover so much new music that I probably would have never heard outside of playing this project, and then it goes into a playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, but the other side of it is, again, it's still too much music that I never get a chance to digest the way I feel I need to digest. And the only way I could do it is if I'm about to take a road trip.
I literally feel the same way. So that is one of my biggest criticisms right now, because I do feel that streaming makes it easy for us to access music. There is an overabundance. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can discover stuff you would have otherwise never heard. But that's also the problem. There's so much out there that it's like, oh, you hear a song, you download it, you play it a couple times, but you don't have time to sit with it and really enjoy it because something else, the new flavor's already out and you want to ride the wave because, you know, there's this sense of FOMO, but also it just kind of overtakes what's going on and sweeps the nation. And so it's like, even if you try to escape it, it's being played everywhere and you can't. And so it's like, then you forget about these things. And then to your point, by the time the album comes out, you're like, oh yeah, this was a single, but there have been five other singles that preceded this that I've already forgot about, you know, the song that made me excited about the album.
Right.
And I think a lot of albums now aren't classic, they're good for the time, but I can listen to stuff from the 90s, early 2000s, and it still feels the way it did when I played it then. Mm-hmm. Now, if I listen to an album that I thought I loved when it was released, sometimes I don't even remember the songs. I'm like, oh yeah, this was up here, and it's just like, eh. So
what makes, let me ask your opinion,
okay,
because everybody has a different answer for this.
Mm-hmm.
What makes an album a classic?
A classic.
In your opinion.
I think I think it's an emotional connection that you have to it. You know what I mean? I think the longevity of it is kind of subjective. I think anyone can say something's classic, but I think it's just the music still has a sound that sounds current.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics kind of resonate with you and it takes you to this place emotionally that you just are happy, you're vibing. And there aren't a lot of albums that I can think of that are considered classics, in my opinion. But I do have a few. I think, so people are probably going to get upset with me. Back in the day, I would have said Usher Confessions is classic. And I do think it's still good. But it doesn't, I don't know, a lot of it doesn't play the same way it used to for me. But I do think, holistically, it was just an excellent piece of work. But yeah, I think that one is one of those ones that I can't listen to. Yeah, so maybe that's the one that I skip over because I think that.
I mean, because it was
overdone, and I think that's also when Usher started experimenting with sounds and gave me a lot of that EDM stuff where I was like, I don't want you to do this, and now he's trying to figure out the sound that works for him again. But as a whole, yeah, I think that album was a classic. I actually think Was it 8701? I think that was a pretty classic album. Usher made...
I think 8701 and Confessions were two back-to-back albums that I can honestly say, yo, he hit this out the park.
Yeah.
Two times.
So, yeah, I think those two are classics. But I think, yeah, again, it's just... Ooh, Never Say Never is a classic for me. I think Brandy was in her bag with that. Like, I think the music is... It doesn't sound modern because it's not using any sort of, like, beats or instrumentals that we use now. But in terms of, like... It still has a modern sound to me. So I don't even know if I answered your question. Yeah, I think just it's an emotional connection, like the way that you feel when you play it. It still makes you feel the way you did when you first heard it. And then lyrically, it holds up. I think a lot of stuff you thought were classics, and now, you know, we're in this culture where we're a lot more inclusive and respectful and, like, tolerant of people, which I think is a good thing. So I don't want to sound like... Because people are rapping about, like, rape back in the day or, like, assaulting women, that the songs aren't classic. Like, we should take into inventory what people are saying because words have power. But just the lyrics, the sound, and everything still holds up. And, yeah, those are the only three that I can think of right now. I'm sure there are a few more. But
yeah, I totally agree. You didn't answer the question because, again, no, you answered it. Because people say, oh, this is a classic. I'm going to tell you why. Just with anything. And I'm like, bruh, the album just came out last night.
Yeah.
You did not live with this album to even give it. That's why it's like, people ask me, like, yo, what's your, you know, like, just what we're talking. I'm not saying that somebody reaches out to me specifically, but, you know, yo, Eric, what you think about the album? I'm like, it's a good album.
Yeah.
Just heard it, you know? I like it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I haven't yet given anything. And I think, honestly, an album to me, that if it is a classic, I think it's going to take at least, and people are going to kill me for this, a year.
I think it's going to take more, but I feel you.
A year as far as to get the conversation going,
okay,
to solidify and stamp it and give it that stamp of approval,
yeah,
is going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah,
like, and that's my opinion.
I can see that. Good and classic are not synonymous, and I think people, you know, kind of conflate the two and think because the album is good beginning to end, that makes it a classic. That just makes it a good album. Like,
And it has
what's
a lot,
it going to sound like in 3 years?
Thank you. Because that definitely changes things. Like, listening back to Crunk Juice, at the time, people would say, yo, this is a classic album.
Right.
Okay. Crunk era is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I go back and listen to it, these songs still resonate to me because I remember where I was at that particular moment when the album came out.
Right.
But I'm like, nah, it's a good out. Like, out of 5 mics, I give it 4.
Mm-hmm.
3.5, 4. But 5, nah.
Yeah.
But I never really called it a classic then. I'm just like, yo, this is something different that I never heard before. And it's a great album, but you can't tell that to somebody in Atlanta. They're gonna argue with you. Nah, it's a classic album. Like, are you playing it now? Like, if you're not still playing it now, then no, it's really not a classic. And that's not to say that the albums that you play, every album you play now is a classic.
Right.
But specifically, if you are not playing that album no more, stop.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think a lot of times people assume something is classic because it was, like, influential or, like, instrumental in, like, propelling someone's career. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the album is classic and held up. It just means that was the album that at the time help them blow up.
Yeah.
But it's hard to define what that is because I think, you know, good and bad is subjective anyways.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to be like, this is what is good and this is what's bad. But I do think it just has to have that, like, longevity, that ability to, like, stand up against, you know, new music, old music after many, many years. But yeah, let's talk.
Okay. So great conversation on that piece. But the rap, the music part of, Who are you listening to right now? Like, who are your 3 or 4 that you're listening to?
So, right now, because, like I said, we're in this era where people just release a lot of, like, songs, I don't have a lot of albums that I've been playing, and I also work from home and don't go on a lot of road trips, so I don't think I've been sitting with new music. Jasmine Sullivan, Reality Show, and Love Me Back. I like both of those. There's a girl named Leia. I think that's how you pronounce it. The album is called Hello. She's kind of weird, quirky. She's got this song called Sailor Moon, which is what drew me to her.
Okay.
Is like very soft beat, simple melody, but dope production. And she's got a nice voice. Candy Drip by Lucky Day, probably because I was getting excited about his album and then, or his concert, and he was like, oh, my throat hurts. I gotta do vocal rest. So I've been spinning that just to get
I'll beat it up.
I'm still annoyed. And then Kevin Garrett, he is this white dude who does like alternative R&B. I like him a lot. He actually wrote the intro for Beyonce's album Lemonade. But he's just got a very smooth sound. I don't think he tries to be like too assuming and like coming off as like super black. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very easy, fun, pop-infused R&B. So that's it. That's my short list. Like, I listen to a lot of rap, but I don't have, like, any albums that I'm listening to. Like, I was just listening to Moneybagg Yo on the way up here, but I can't be, like, I'm sitting with his album. Like, there are a couple little songs.
I just started getting into Moneybagg Yo, like, probably about a year ago. But that new album, the latest album that he has really shows his consistency. And I said, okay, he's not going to be a fly-by-night guy. He's really going to. But I credit Yo Gotti to that. Yo Gotti being the executive that he is to bring to bring these individuals on. It is hard to do that when your executive has so much success.
Yeah.
To come behind that, you know. I'm not saying will he ever get to Yo Gotti's. I don't know. Right. You know, but this project kind of says a lot because I didn't really listen to the other project he did. But this one, I was like, okay, this sounds like another budget was behind him, but I think he will,
and I'm gonna tell you why. Not just because like it requires, you know, the talent. I think it's the time we're in. Again, it's a package deal, so I think, you know, in addition to his music, he dated Megan Thee Stallion. Now he's dating Ari, and so I think outside of music, he's staying, you know what I mean, in people's like people's minds because of the people that he's with, and so I think that will help to propel him to that level where people want to see what he's got going on. But I mean, he's also putting out decent music, so that helps. But I do think we want to have this like emotional connection. We want to feel like we know people. And so when we've got that personal tie, it just gets us more excited about their projects. But
you like Alex Isley?
I do. I think I heard about Alex Isley through like the Joe Budden podcast just randomly. But I downloaded a lot of Alex Isley stuff. So yeah, smooth. She's dope.
She's dope, man. Like, I put people on a clock. And I put, the day that I put her on the clock, she released the surprise album. I said, ain't this a bitch? But, you know, but I thought she was dope. And I'm like, yo, man, like, you can't keep singling me to death or two, three track to me to death. You know, I had put her on the clock at one point. Yeba, I had put her on the clock. You know, Maxwell is still on my goddamn clock. Don't get me started with Maxwell. I want to punch him in the face.
I would like for Melanie Fiona to drop some music.
I think she's done.
I don't think that she is going. Well, no, I agree. Because she has a kid now. She's not going to release anything. Yeah. But I'm still hoping. Because I think for a while, people thought A-Marie was done, and then she dropped two projects that were like, eh, you could have kept them. But it was still nice to hear her making music again, because I really like Melanie Fiona. But I think, again,
she was my boo.
She was one of those people like, we didn't know anything about her, which is fine. Like, as fans, we are not, we don't, they don't owe us that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't.
But she just seemed so boring. And so, you know what I mean? When you parallel that to, like, you know, Rihanna and Beyonce, who are mysterious but seem so fun, it's like, you want to listen to more of them because you feel like you got this in.
She was up next. Melanie Fiona, she was up next. And like I said, after, who knows? Life happens, you know, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. She probably lived life and, you know, had a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's probably in, I mean, I'm not sure she's in a relationship or not, but
she's engaged, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, that was the last thing I saw.
That can make a lot of sense to her. You know, like, you know, this is something I want to do because the road life can be a little bit, you know, hard for people. For sure. So, but it's all good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our music segment. So let's go to, you be having some good reviews on TV shows.
Thank you.
Don't mean I agree with all of them.
And that's fair. You're not supposed to, because it's literally just my opinion.
Yeah, it's your opinion. So I read it, and I'm like, okay, so first one. I'm not sure if you had a review on this one.
Okay.
Snowfall.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so y'all are going to kill me.
Oh, my God. Two things I better not hear. You better not say that you just on the first season or you just don't watch it at all.
Then what do you want me to say? Because I'm on the first season. And I'm going to tell you why. Like, the show is enjoyable. It's one of those shows, like, a lot of what I watch, especially working from home, is stuff that, like, I can pay attention to but doesn't require full attention. And I can tell that Snowfall is a show that I need to dedicate more attention to.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it an injustice by, like, having it on in the background. So it's the only reason I'm not caught up. It's not a good excuse, but, like, I'm outside a lot on the weekends and I just haven't had time. So it's one of those ones I'm going to have to binge late. Like, I hear everyone talking about it, but I know it's a show that I want to give my attention to and I haven't had the time. And so, I don't want to do that to myself or the show.
Damn it, Nikki. Well, season finale was Wednesday for season four.
Yeah.
So five. So you got time. You got one more season.
I'm going to be that person that comes in season six hyping it up like I've been.
We got one more season. And I'm glad that it's ending. Like, now the way the world is set up and the way TV shows are set up, you really just getting 10 episodes. Like, outside of, dinosaur TV or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, back in the day we did TV shows, a season was like, what, from September to May?
Yeah.
Or September to April, you probably get, 25 shows or something like that? But now it's 10. So it seems like it just happened. So you get 10 shows, and they're moving on to, they go do life and do whatever they want to do, and then they come back. So
I have feelings about both of those because I do watch a lot of, like, primetime shows, and so This Is Us gives us about 18 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The CW, I watch a lot of their superhero stuff, so, like, The Flash, all that stuff, and they run, like, 20-some-odd episodes. And so on the one hand, when Insecure or, you know, even though I haven't watched it, Snowfall gives you 10 episodes, I'm like, I need more.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I'm watching The Flash for 20 episodes, I'm like, this is too much. And so I do think we just got spoiled.
Yeah, we definitely got spoiled.
And you want more, but I do think the format works.
And TV shows now are kind of set up like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never just one-off episodes like it was back in the day. Now
right.
it's like, okay, what is about to happen next?
Right.
You know, so it's a little bit different, but please.
I'm going to watch it. It's literally on my list, haunting me. Every day I turn it on, Hulu is like, bitch, it's been on your list forever. Are you going to watch? But I just know it's a show that I need to focus on, and I just don't have the capacity to do it. So,
well, we can't talk about that one.
I'm sorry, y'all.
It's all good.
I knew he was going to come with something.
Oh, yeah. Ultimatum.
Okay.
Did you watch that?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Okay. So I don't like reality TV shows, which sounds stupid because I'm watching like three of them right now. But I feel like Nick Lachey and Vanessa.
Well, I knew you was gonna start with them.
You knew I was?
Because when people talk about Ultimatum, they go with them first. So something really bothered people about them two first.
Because I think that they're a little maniacal and kind of like bullies. Like, I think because they feel that their love story had this path where they broke up and she was like, either you and I are going to get married or it's done. And that's how, you know, they got married and have now had a few kids and have been together for a few years. It's like sometimes you have to put someone's foot to the fire. And that can be true, but I don't think that it needs to play out in front of the world, number one. And then number two, these kids are like 20. So it's hard for a lot of us to make, you know, life decisions that early in age. And so to put this camera on these people, put them under this microscope for 3 weeks, you know what I mean? And then be like,
six.
Well, 3 weeks, to be with a new person and then your old person, then be like, and now choose. That is a lot to take in. But I did watch the show. It was enjoyable enough for like the first four episodes. And then I was like, okay, I just want to see what happens at the end because it kind of fell flat. I think because of the success of Love is Blind, they wanted to build on that type of dating show. But it was just a little bit of a snooze after like the choice episode where there was a little bit of drama and then we saw, you know, them living together. But it was fun. You know what I mean? I don't think it's one of those shows that, again, has to be like a classic or memorable in any way. I think it was just something to watch for a couple of episodes. I think Netflix is really just dropping the ball in a lot of ways because what people liked about them was the fact that we could binge shows. And so now that they're like dropping stuff weekly, it's like, that's not what I come to you for. You're
right.
Not Hulu. You're not Apple Plus. You're not, you know, whatever other streaming service offers, you know, TV in this digestible format. So I hate that they drop it every week because I'm like, I'm not even that into it. And now I got to wait till next Wednesday to find out what happens. But I'm invested, so I still right. gotta finish it. I mean, some of the couples were cute. I do remember having a conversation with my friends where they were talking about Randall and questioned, you know, if he was even attracted to women in general because he gave
I was about to ask you.
Because I was like, great value, Trey Songz is giving me some little.
What moment did you realize? let me tell you what moment
it
I realized.
It was like the first episode where he was talking to the white girl.
Okay, two things. Okay. So I'm going to tell you where the radar went off in my head. It's like, was when him and Shanique met after going their separate ways with their mate, right? And they had a conversation, and then of course Shanique she walked out, and she got in the car. It was when he threw his hands up. I said, wait.
And so I don't want it to seem like if a man seems slightly like effeminate, that means he's gay, because you know we're not a monolith. People can be whatever. But there was something about him. I can't even pinpoint it. It was just a feeling that I was getting that I was like, he and Shanique look good on paper. They come off as this, like, you know, little Barack and Michelle Jr. Like, they make sense physically. And then, you know, beauty is subjective, so I can't say who's attracted to what. But then he got this, like, little ugly Cameron Diaz, and he was, like, so into her. I was like, of all the people here,
she did like
this
Cameron
girl
Diaz.
Is the one that you want. It was just like, I don't believe it. And it was just his, like, energy, his interactions with them made me feel like, nah, this.
I think he would have hit. I ain't even talking about him. I'm just talking in general. Shout out to the Q's. I'm an alpha. Shout out to y'all. But let's keep it a buck. If you ran into whoever, regardless of how she looks or not, if you saying you're attracted to her and she's feeling you and I'm just going outside of race. Mm-hmm. I'm just going with how sometimes some people think. He would have hit.
Yeah.
Because the clearly, based off of what they were saying and how they came off on camera, they had hella chemistry.
Yeah.
From the onslaught. And she made it clear that she wanted to jump his bones.
Yes.
Like, yo, I want to give him some.
And
but
he was like, that's not what this is about. And I was like, bro,
that's exactly what this is about.
That's what the show is supposed to be for. Like, you're not cheating when you guys have agreed to take this trial separation. So...
I don't know why they didn't bring this up on the reunion, but they did something.
They did something.
I'm not blind. Based off of what I saw, like she topped them off.
Yeah.
You know, like she topped them off, but who knows? Right. But something happened. So yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
No, I definitely felt that like it was just his interactions with them, and then the fact that he didn't make a movie when she wanted to. Cause me to be like, something's up here. And that doesn't mean that every guy has to want to be physical with someone. Like, you can't respect boundaries and, you know what I mean? Just feel like this isn't the time or place for that. But, you know, I did feel like this was the time and place for that. So I was
that's what I thought.
That he didn't take her up on the opportunity, especially because she clearly, like, consented. She was like, bruh, I'm not thinking about Colby. Yeah. He is not here. I thought it was a cute little show for a few episodes. But a lot of things that I think I hate about a lot of the dating shows in general is that we don't really get enough time to like unpack these things and explore this stuff. And so I feel like they're in this pressure cooker for a few weeks. You're forced to see your ex. And so it's more for drama than really giving them a chance to see if they want something outside of their relationship. Because, you know, if you broke up with your partner, you're not going to be around them for 3 weeks while you're dating someone else. You know what I mean? So putting them into unrealistic expectations and then being like, now you have to choose is just a little, like, disingenuous. That's why I'm always critical of Married at First Sight, but I, like, watch it because my homegirls do. But, like, there are people that come on the show and they're like, this is what I like. I like this, 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 and this. And then the so-called experts are like, we're going to give you the exact opposite of what you said you like. And we hope that, you know, love will help you overcome, you know, these walls that you've put up and these preferences you have because, you know, looks don't always matter or these things don't always matter. And that's true. But it's like you've forced me to marry someone, and now you force me to marry someone that I don't like. And then you give me 8 weeks to try to figure them out and decide if I want to make this work long term. And so dating shows are cool for ratings and entertainment, but, you know, for the people that are going on the show, I just feel like they get a raw deal outside of, you know,
sponsorships
and stuff, because a lot of them probably just want to.
Eric Sanders not going on no dating show. Like, I'm not going on no dating show, number one. And I damn sure wouldn't have went on Ultimatum. Like, really? No, we can have that conversation. We can have that conversation right now if that's the case. But if it's legit outside of you truly want to know if this is the person you want to be with, you are not taking me on no damn show. Correct. To figure that out. But for shits and giggles, if we don't have that, you know, which I think in some of those cases, mm-hmm. I don't think that was never the case with them. Randall and Shanique. The fact that you're not engaged now,
right?
That was never the case. So who knows? I think that it was a setup. Mm-hmm. I don't. But yeah, man. Sorry, Mr. Omega, but I don't know about you, buddy. I was a little bit suspect on that one.
Was too, and that's fine. But I just wanted him to be honest with them and himself, because I really do think, for, you know, most people, sexuality is fluid anyways. But I was just like, bro, you're not into these women, and that's okay. That's okay. But don't be on this fucking show acting like, you know, you're trying to decide if you want to be with this woman, and what you're really wrestling with is whether you even want to be with women.
One more. one more. So okay. You didn't like the end of The Blackish.
I didn't. And that's okay, because I think a lot of times we have expectations going into these shows. Like, we want it to conclude a certain way. We want to get the closure that we feel that we need from the show. Mm-hmm. And so I just expected more. Like, it was a fine ending. It was just like, okay, like, you guys moved. And I feel like maybe because the moving is so, like, overdone in finales, like, that doesn't have to be the way that a show wraps to signal that you've grown, or, you know what I mean, like, evolved in so many ways.
To their credit, we actually saw the move in the show.
That is fair, because a lot of places have
they just move and it's it. Yeah,
standing like Will Smith in the middle looking in the empty.
Or Martin writing on the wall.
With flipping the lights on and all. So, yeah, they did move, but it was just like, okay. But I enjoyed the show. I think what the season did was wrapped up very nicely. So the finale episode didn't have to give me everything, because I do feel like the episode prior really brought that relationship between Dre and Junior to a head, and he finally saw him for the first time. Same with Pops, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And they gave us a look back at the twins. So I felt like, as a whole, I got everything I needed from the finale. But I think because normally at 9 o'clock I'm watching This Is Us, and I was like, I watch these niggas move and bury the fucking memories of the old house. This is it. But
I'm gonna let you stand on a plank alone on something that you said earlier about you're probably gonna get killed for this.
Okay.
I'm probably gonna get killed for this. I watched probably the first 5 or 6 episodes of This Is Us, and I never went back to it. So let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me, I don't give a fuck. What the fuck happened? What's his name? Jack?
Jack, yeah.
What the fuck happened to him? Where did he die at?
In the house. Okay, so if y'all haven't watched it and you were interested in watching it, I'm sorry, not sorry. Like, the show been on for
it's been on. It's been like, yeah, like, yeah, whatever.
So, long story short, the reason I even started watching the show to begin with is because the white brother, Kevin, used to be on Young and the Restless. So he replaced mm-hmm. Victor Newman's son, who was like my favorite actor. And I was like, no one's ever going to be able to be as good as Adam. And then he came in and I was like, well, wait a minute, bitch. And he left, you know, what I consider to be like this secure, long-standing show that's been on 100 years mm-hmm. for a project on NBC that who knows if it's going to succeed. So I started watching because I really liked him as an actor. And then when Sterling K. Brown cried that first tear, I said, I'm here for the Black family. And it was clear that he was like the nucleus of the group. Like, the show is about family, but they really do focus on like the Black family a lot. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack, there was this episode where he had gone to like a flea market or something like that, like a garage sale, and bought a crock pot. And the crock pot had a faulty wire, and then a fire started. And Everyone got out, so we're like, oh my God, so the crock pot didn't kill him. Like, we were all very confused on this episode. He goes back in to get Kate's dog, and he has like smoke inhalation and then dies in the hospital. So he didn't even die in like the fire. Like, the way that he died, it's not like you want to see your favorite character go out in this gruesome death, but it was also like, really, bitch, like smoke inhalation, little heart attack shit. Like, it was dumb. And so also, I think what initially pissed me off about the show was like, the character died, but Jack was still on the show in flashbacks and a lot of stuff. So he's still on the show. I think I was expecting the family to move forward and adjust to him not being there. But he's still been getting a check for 6 seasons. And I was y'all faked me out with that. Because I really thought we led up to this death and now Milo is gone. And this nigga's been here every season since. And I'm like, bro, we get it.
Jack, did you cry? Did you cry every day? Cry every episode, every week?
I cry when Randall is up there, when Sterling K. Brown is up there and he lets that little glory tear fall and his little lips quiver. Yes, I cry because that man just knows how to make you feel. Like, this season, because it's the finale, they've been trying to give us closure on a lot of the other family members. And I love the Pearsons as a whole, but I don't need a lot of the episodes with, like, Kate and Toby and Kevin and Rebecca. And so I've been like, where is Randall and Beth? Where are black people at? But most episodes I do cry. Because it just pulls at your heartstrings. And I also think it's just an emotional response. Like, when I see Sterling K. Brown cry, I'm like, oh, bitch, this is it. I don't know. I think it's just me seeing, like, black men be vulnerable and emotional. It just takes me to this place where I'm like, now I'm crying because you're crying. But it's also just a really good show.
I lied. One more.
Okay.
One more.
I'm ready.
Real quick.
I got to make up for Snowfall, so give me another one anyway.
Did you like Power? Force.
I did eventually. So I wasn't one of those people that was a part of the Power, you know, universe in the beginning. I think I had a hangover and it was on Hulu and I was binging it and I was like, okay, I get why people like it. And so I then started watching Power around like season 3 religiously. Mm-hmm. And then I watched The Ghost and Raising Kanan and Power and or Force. I liked it. It started slow, but I think that was to be expected because Tommy has to build this network. He has to become the person that he was in New York, in Chicago. And so I think a lot of people, at least from what I see online, like criticisms, they're expecting to get the same feeling from the first, you know, iteration of Power out of all of the other ones. Like Raising Kanan, they were like, where is Ghost and Tommy? It's like, nigga, he's a kid. Yeah. He doesn't know them. We're Raising Kanan. He will possibly meet them eventually, but the show is not about them. And like with Force, he doesn't have, you know, that infrastructure, that like group. So he had to build his place. So the first couple episodes, I was like, oh, I don't know if I like it. But then I think it started to find its stride. And by the end, I was like, okay, season 2 is going to be, it's going to be okay. So I enjoyed it. Okay. How do you feel about it?
I loved it.
Okay.
But I'm also a person that understands stories have to build.
Yeah.
Everything is not going to pop out the first episode. That's me though. But of course, like with anything else, oh, this shit sucks. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
You trying to, first of all, Tommy was under, I'm going to say under, you know, James was his partner. Mm-hmm. That was his guy. That was his guy. He was just, you know, pretty much James, you know, he was the, Ghost was the smart man. Mm-hmm. He was the man that stayed out the way.
Right.
Tommy was the live wire. Tommy is still the live wire. Correct. Now, they just don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? So the fact, you know, I love the fact that they took the same persona and they didn't make him. He showed emotion. He's only shown emotion, like real emotion, probably throughout the time he's been Tommy 3 times, with Holly passing, with Keisha passing, getting killed, and now with Liliana. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like that side that they show that, oh, this dude really, like, he grown to, even though you tried to murk her, you know, at first, but he grown to know that this is somebody that really had his back. Mm-hmm. And the way she went out like that, I didn't think she was going to go out like that. But
right, that pissed me off.
Yeah, but again, we are, one thing you know about these shows is somebody's going to get off that sometime.
Nobody's safe,
Nobody's safe. The main character sometimes ain't even safe. Like, you don't know if they're going to get killed or not. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the second season. But I think it's going to be even, I'm assuming it's going to be bigger, but I also know that Courtney Kemp is no longer a part of it to that extent. She said after this one, she said half of it, she said she was like tied to it, but it wasn't like the way it was. Like, she was still under the mic. She said she's still gonna get her checks from it, but the way, I think she said she started kind of tinkering off after the last season of Power Ghost.
Okay.
Power Ghost 2 with that. So I'm curious, because I always loved the updates that she did on the other one, you know, but we're not going to get that now. And I can't see somebody else doing it. It'd be like, that's going to give me the same feel. So I'm curious of that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think, like you said, you have to allow space for character development, for the story to build. And Tommy was still the same person that we were used to, but the environment was different. And so he had to adjust based on that. And now that he's kind of found his footing, he's found, you know, this foundation of a team, we'll see him become the person he wanted to be. Because, you know, to your point, Ghost was his partner, and now he's kind of going to more than likely be the leader. And so we'll see him operate in that capacity. So I think it'll be good. It was enjoyable. I just don't know why you would watch one show expecting to feel the same way another show made you feel. Like, it's a spin-off.
Because this is America, and people are impatient, and people are stuck in their ways, and they do not like change.
Wild. That's not how spinoffs work. And it's just like, historically, that's not even how they worked. But I get it, and I was just looking at the criticism like, go watch Power. You've got episodes that you can watch if that's what you want to feel. Like, this is a new show. Give it space to be whatever it's going to be. But, yeah, I thought it was cool. I have not disliked any of the new, like, versions. Mm-hmm. They all have
Their spaces.
Yeah. They all have a different tone. So, I'm cool with whatever.
Okay. Now, to finish this all off, you are a Marvel head. You're a Marvel head. So, I'm a Marvel head, too.
Okay.
You may be a bigger Marvel head than me.
I don't know. So, I think I'm an MCU fan. Like, I do know some stuff.
I'm an MCU fan. Okay. So, this is how I do things. So, I watch it, and I watch new rock stars on YouTube.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm. I'm putting it down on the list.
He does the recaps. Mm-hmm. So he really started, he did it, of course, when the movie came out, so it was very sparingly. So, you know, but of course with WandaVision starting the whole Disney Plus, you got it every week. You'll get two, so he'll kind of talk about it. Then he'll do, this clearly must be his job. He gets great hits and stuff like that, but he'll watch it, because he'll show that he'll watch it. Sometimes they'll do like a live showing where he's watching it. Then he'll talk about it, but then he'll go back and he'll pull out every Easter egg, every assumption, everything that he knows. And it's never of him saying, I'm right. This is just like, I don't know if this is going to be true or not, but this is my thinking. Eric Voss, that's the name, Eric Voss. And I have been religious to this ever since WandaVision. Mm-hmm. So he does that now. So when I'm not understanding a couple of things, I will go back and watch that, and then there may be something I may pick up on. I said, oh, I didn't know that. And I'll go back and watch it again. So with the Disney shows, you have to kind of go back and watch it again, because you're going to miss something. And I say all that to say, so I'm, of course, Moon Knight, right? I was all the way good up until episode 4. Episode 4, I got confused as fuck.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and rewatch, and that just, you know, kind of reiterates why I haven't started Snowfall, because, like, I was trying to watch Moon Knight while I was working, and I was like, okay, I'm getting it. And then I was like, okay, there's a lot happening, but I have no idea what's going on, even though I'm watching it. And so I feel like I'm going to have to rewatch it just so that I can understand what all took place.
It's two nuggets. It's two nuggets that I'm trying to figure out. There's a third identity, and I need to know who is that, because that has yet to be revealed. It just kind of popped up after episode, 2 at the end. They didn't say it, but it's kind of like, hold on, I don't think this is Mark Spector.
Yeah.
He's locked in.
Right.
So who's the third person? But then when he started killing people, they were like, yo, what did you do? They're like, I ain't do that. I said, okay, so who is the third person? That's number one. The second part of it is I'm trying to understand. I guess I'm trying to understand where Khonshu, why does he have so much beef with the other, you know, with the other guys. Yeah. And now that he's about to get locked up, and I think I still call him Ethan Hawke, but him
Same.
And the, Yeah, at the end, he was kind of talking like, I'm about to fulfill what you couldn't do. I'm still trying to understand, like, what was his place of what when he was the avatar? Like, what was so different from him being the avatar for Khonshu versus what he had to revive Mark Spector to come back for it to do? Like, that's the part that's confusing me, so I got to go back and keep watching.
I got to rewatch, too. And so when I was young, I had, like, my little X-Men cards. Mm-hmm. I would, like, trade people. So I've always liked superhero stuff, but I didn't.
You knew the surface stuff.
Like, I wasn't loyal to the comics because, I mean, it is a universe. It's expansive. It's so much to keep up with. And so I am a fan. And I thought I was an MCU head until I went to this, like, Marvel trivia a few weeks ago, and it humbled my ass. and, I mean, I did okay. Like, I didn't lose, but I was just also like, damn,
some issues you never knew about. Yeah.
And that's one of the things, like, you do watch those videos with, like, Easter eggs, and it's like, no matter how many times you watch, and I think that's what I appreciate about, like, Marvel and Disney, like, no matter how many times you've watched it, there's always something else for you to discover. And so it's, like, new for me every time I watch, whereas other people, they're mm-hmm. like, bitch, you just watched this last week. And I'm like, I watched it, but I didn't notice this the last time.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think is cool, is just, like, the gift that keeps on giving. But Moon Knight has been interesting. I don't even know how that character really fits into, you know, the MCU and how he's going to, like, work with these other characters, but I'm excited.
And he was an Avenger. Yeah. Like, but you got to be very careful when you say an Avenger, because there were different stages mm-hmm. of the Avengers. So I think he was, like, later on, because this comic isn't an old comic. Right. You know, it came, I want to say it's after the 2000s mm-hmm. When it came out. So that could be the new Avengers, or however they had that kind of set up. But I know he had some doings with Kang the Conqueror. I don't. Mm-hmm.
I do remember hearing that. I think it was like him, Kang, and like Punisher or something. That I heard.
Yeah. So
we're gonna see what comes.
I guess it just all depends on where Kevin Feige is gonna go with it. Yeah. Like he they could go. I know it's fun sitting in the studios like, okay, where are we gonna go with this? Because you don't know what storyline they're gonna pull out of it, but. It's interesting, and Doctor Strange, of course, is about to come out.
Ooh, and so that's what I'm really. That's going to be about.
That one to me is going to be. Spider-Man was you was at the door, mm-hmm. like you was at the door with every. Let me phrase that. WandaVision, gave you a peek. Spider-Man opened the door. But you closed it real mm-hmm. quick, like, oh hell no, nah. I don't want to look behind that door.
And Doctor Strange is gonna
Doctor Strange is going to be where the door is just open. What I do like about some of the trailer that I have seen from it is that a lot of the episode, the What If episode, is going to be appearing, and I think that's the only one. I said that is.
That's why I watched What If. I mean, it was also kind of interesting, but
it was good though.
They said that a lot of that stuff is going to be canon. So when I saw Zombie Strange, I said, okay, bitch, they're tying everything together. And that's why I'm excited. And I don't know everything about everything, but it's not very clear. What I assume is they're trying to build out the Young Avengers mm-hmm. and the, I think, West Coast Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're going to get Secret Wars eventually. And I think, like you said, Spider-Man, it definitely cracked the door and closed it. But I also think it was more or less like a love story to the fans from day one. Like if you liked Spider-Man back in the day with Tobey Maguire, it was like, we're giving you a little bit of everything because you've been here for the ride. But I do think Doctor Strange is going to kind of turn things on its head. Some of the rumors I've heard, I don't know if you want me to like tell you, because I don't know if you want to just go in and experience it.
I promise you that I probably heard it or read it, because like I don't like I would I go if it's a, again, the movie hasn't happened. Right. So we don't know what to be true. So
yeah. So I start reading and then I'm like, stop, because I want some of the things mm-hmm. to like surprise me. But what, I mean, obviously we've heard Patrick Stewart's voice. And so I think we're finally going to get our first introduction to the X-Men or the, you know.
A mutant is going to be introduced.
The phrasing of like mutant, because that was, you know, contractually they couldn't say. So finally we're going to get that. And then I have heard that Tom Cruise is in the movie as Superior Iron Man, which is cool, because if you know, back in the day before it was Robert Downey Jr., they kind of wanted Tom Cruise to be Iron Man. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be cool because we're getting the, what's it called? The Illuminati. So we're getting a little bit of everything. And so I think if they bring this all to a head, then we're definitely going to get Secret Wars down the line where we might see, you know, old RDJ. There was also a rumor that Captain America was going to be in it. And you know you from my social media how I feel about Chris Evans. So, bruh, if he's in there, I feel sorry to whoever else is in AMC because I'm a scream.
I give it to the MCU. It's crazy. They're not. It's not them giving the information. Like, people have these rumors, and I think they did a real good job with keeping you on your toes with Spider-Man, not trying to figure out. But I think the Miles Morales show, the movie, really gave an insight of what could happen with this Spider-Man, and they played into that. And I like the fact that they brought Tobey Maguire back and Andrew Garfield, you know, brought them back for the show. I thought that was pretty dope how they did that, you know. So I think you will always have in different phases, there's a certain movie that's going to really just set the tone for everything else. And I think even though I liked the first Doctor Strange, this one I'm really in tune with because of how they played him in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Like, I like how they're going back and forth because Wanda's that chick. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious about her.
I'm excited about it. And I know we've probably been talking forever, so I'm going to try to keep it brief. But, yeah, I think I'm looking forward to seeing what comes because, I think we got to see another side of him in Spider-Man. I think, like you said, there's always that one movie that sets up, like, the future of the franchise. For me, that's why Captain America Civil War is my favorite movie. It doesn't mean that I think it's the best movie. Mm-hmm. But I think it was the one that was more, like, comically accurate, number one. And it introduced us to, you know,
a lot.
Black Panther, God rest, you know, Chadwick Boseman's soul, and, you know, this version of Spider-Man. And then it kind of set the stage for Infinity War sagas, which was really good. And so I think that's what this film is going to be like. I think Thor is going to be enjoyable, but I really think that, like, Doctor Strange is going to be the thing that blows it up and gives us the opportunity to get a Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland singular, like, individual, you know, Spider-Man films, because now we've got this multiverse and we all know they're Peter Parker. One of the things that I've heard is that, you know, right now nobody knows who Peter Parker is. So the question is, like, how is he going to come back into the fold? When at the very beginning of the movie he went to, like, the Sanctum, Wong stepped through one of the little portals, and so I think the idea is that because he wasn't here, he still has those memories, and that's kind of going to be how we get Peter back. But I definitely am like, when is he coming back? Because I think, even though I loved Toby, you know, Disney played in our face back in the day because he was like 30 and he was supposed to be in high school. So I think he looks younger. Like, I think he really is just the embodiment of like a young kid, and played Peter Parker so well. And now that we are getting to see him grow up, we've just had a lot of time to, like, grow with the character.
Mm-hmm.
So he was my favorite. And I think Andrew was good. I just don't think he had good films. And so everyone thought he sucked. But it was like, no, Sony doesn't know how to make a good film. But regardless, May 5th, I'm going to be there. Probably be there May 6th if I can get a ticket. Like, I know I'm going to go back to watch this movie.
Right.
Because, again, they just show so much that you have to, like, rewatch it. So, oh, I can't wait.
All right. So, just in closing, so thank you for all that information.
Of course.
It was great talking to you about that.
I have an overabundance of Marvel info. I just love to share it.
Nah, hey, listen, you know, I'm always willing to listen because you have to be sure, because, again, we know how this goes. Like, some people just don't get it.
Right.
And, again, I like it too. There's a couple of things I may not understand, but I go find the research. I don't sit around here just ask a shitload of questions or just look at something blindly. Like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to look at the content on YouTube, because them, and then there's another one called Screen Something. I forgot. They Screen Gem, not Screen Gem, probably Screenwriters or something like that. They do something different as well. So, you know, you get it from him where it's just the voiceover talking about it. But Eric Voss is, to me, Eric Voss is a little bit more animated. And he gives a little bit more insight, a little bit more information. So shout out to Doctor Strange. I will be there at some point that weekend to watch it. So, you know, just looking forward to it.
Me too.
Again, thanks. So before we go, what are you looking forward to in Charlotte? Like, coming up, like, what's next for you in Charlotte as far as, Even with your own personal self, you know, or just what you're looking for going on.
Being a connector, like, my goal is really to get out here and network and build relationships. I mean, I kind of do that anyways. You know, that's how we linked. But there is a Black Excellence Gala coming up, and that was not just a plug because I am an ambassador, but I am looking forward to networking with a lot of, like, professionals in the area. I think because we have been inside for the better part of 2 years, everyone is ready to get out there and reconnect and have that human interaction. So my word for the year that's supposed to be the overarching theme is just intentional. So I'm really trying to be intentional about meeting people, building relationships, and not just those that might benefit me, but just putting my friends on. Like, I suggested my friend as a photographer for the gala because I'm just all about trying to help people grow. So I think the word that I'm most excited about is growth, which is also, I guess, what I love and hate about the city. Like, I think it's becoming this mecca for, like, young professionals. But I think with that, like, part of the growth is because of gentrification. And so I hate that. And so it's like, it's a gift and a curse because I do love growth. But it's like, I hate seeing these, you know, Black families in urban areas being displaced for, you know, these more, like, affluent homes and neighborhoods and such. But yeah, my goal is to grow and to hopefully take the in off of the inconsistent content creator part and really just be consistent with putting out content and building, you know, relationships with people like you, getting out here doing this.
Hey, man. Damn, you might never ask me.
That is rude. I'm a Libra. We like balance. So I like to know what's going on with other people.
Growing a podcast. Okay. You know, I'm somebody that organically, I'm taking an organic approach with the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've really talked about this much online, but if you know me, you know that it is just me. I know I put it out there as we.
Right.
This is a one-man show.
Me got and, next.
It's a one-man show, but I definitely enjoy talking to individuals all the time about what they have going on. And what I like about it is that most of the people that I have talked to, I was there in some capacity in the infancy stages of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the first 50 or 60 that I talked to was just getting started, or it was just an idea and a thought. So just to see them now having success in that field and me being able to still network with them, still have these relationships, networking or acquaintances to an extent, man, it's just a joy to see that. So what's next for me is, you know, digital content.
Okay.
Doing a little bit more content on, I'm strategic with everything. Like, I'm not a person that does put out an episode I put it out every week when it's time in that volume. And that's where the difference between me and others are, because people are doing it boom, 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 boom.
Right.
I need that break. Mm-hmm. I got a life. I got things that I want to do. I have other, you know, other things. So
for sure,
that's what's next for me. You know, added, put more content, hopefully running into more people and having dope conversations.
Yeah. Y'all coming on this man's show and not asking him about himself, that is just rude.
It's all good. I mean, I'm bringing him on. And you know what? Listen, I'm not mad at that at all. But I do appreciate you asking me that question.
Because
I thought about it, but I've never thought about, I mean, I'm doing an interview. I don't even consider what I'm doing is interviewing.
It's a conversation, which is
like,
why I
asked. Yeah, I like to have a conversation. I'm not, you know, I tell them all the time, look, I'm not the yes or no question type of guy.
Right.
I want the people that I speak to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if we do have a relationship, but everybody's not comfortable with talking on the mic.
Right.
Hell, I'm not still comfortable talking on a mic. I know that's weird for me because people say, hold on, you do a podcast, but you don't really, I know I said that it's not, it could be nerve-wracking sometimes, you know, depending, especially if the conversation is not great. But luckily for me, all the conversations that I've had have been great, you know, for the most part. So I've enjoyed everyone, you know. But at the same time, you know, I am a guy that has, this man, but I saw you on Trap Karaoke. I said, look, man, I have my moments, man, where I want to just let, I have the ability to do it. Doesn't mean that I care, but that's something I want to do too. So, you know, but thank you again for asking that question.
Of course.
Let everybody know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram. My handle is Your Charlotte BFFF. That stands for Beauty, Fashion, Food, and Film. I'm also on TikTok under the same handle. I will be releasing more consistently reviews there as well. So check me out.
Bit. Again, this is E Dub for Who Got Next. You can find me on Instagram at Who Got Next _CLT. If you have any questions, any comments, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, hit me up on my email. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And as I always state, if you are doing some dope shit, trust me, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, we are going to talk about what you have going on next. All right? Peace.